Acts and chapter 7. I'm continuing the preceding Bible sharing on the verse number 23. When Moses was 40 years old, Stephen explained or presented to the rulers in Jerusalem that were ready to murder him. When Moses was full 40 years old, it came into Moses' heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. These rulers that were listening to Stephen's presentation, which officially should have been his self-defense, but Stephen was not that much concerned with his own defense. He was defending the truth. He was declaring the glory of the Almighty God and the truth, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the mankind and there is none other. These rulers in Jerusalem, they were the oppressors. They were not the defenders of the oppressed. They were not the deliverers, but actually they were the ones that were striving to keep the children of Israel under the yoke of bondage, not only physical bondage to the Roman Empire, but also spiritual bondage to darkness, ignorance, and sin. Stephen is explaining that Moses expected his brethren to understand that God, by Moses' hand, would deliver them. But they did not understand. Why they did not understand? For the oppressed ones, the cruel bondage was too hard, too difficult. For the oppressors from among the children of Israel, they could not understand the help that God is sending to them through Moses, because they were not looking for help even today. If someone is not looking for the help that comes from the Lord, that person is not able to see it. We read here that the next day Moses appeared again to the children of Israel, and the situation is even worse at this time. It's not an Egyptian mistreating and oppressing an Israelite. Here are two Israelites, and one is the oppressor, the perpetrator, the evildoer, and the other one is suffering. And Moses is looking at them, and Moses is trying to make them aware that they are brethren, they should help one another, not oppress one another. But the one that did his neighbor wrong thrust Moses away, pushed him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" What is this message, the significance of this experience? Moses wanted to deliver the children of Israel, but the evildoers from among the children of Israel thrust him away. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to deliver us from sin and darkness, to bring us into a new and living relationship with our Heavenly Father. But these Jewish rulers and Levites, priests and scribes and Pharisees and all the others, they were against the deliverance of the Lord. They were for the slavery. And as the evildoers from among the children of Israel rejected Moses, so did these evildoers reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So we read here that Moses fled from this saying, and was stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, There appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning. And I am going down, I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Again, a very significant, important detail in the life of Moses to bring these evildoers, the rulers in Jerusalem, to the awareness how great evil they are doing by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. When Moses saw the burning bush that was not consumed by the fire, and the fire goes on and on, he wondered at that sight. How many sights came to the attention of these rulers in the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to make them aware that here is a person burning with the love of God for his people, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Savior, and he is not going to be consumed with that fire of his zeal. He is excelling. These evildoers did not see the Lord Jesus after he came back, after the resurrection, but they did see the torn veil in the temple. They before had to do with his disciples and himself, but now the number of the disciples is growing from day to day, and they are still holding that evil direction, that evil attitude. They will not change. In Moses' experience, 40 years elapsed since his first rejection until he returned back as the one chosen of God to deliver the children of Israel. In this case, with the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, since their final rejection and condemnation of the Messiah until this moment when they are condemning and rejecting his witnesses, only a few weeks passed and the number of the disciples grew up enormously. I think all of that should have been a warning to these evil rulers, but no, their minds were set on doing evil to the end. Moses was commanded by the Lord to take off his shoes because it was a holy ground where the Lord's presence is manifested. Taking off shoes from one's feet was an act of confession. I am nothing, I am helpless, I am hopeless. And this is the way we appear before the Lord to find grace in his sight. These rulers are helpless and hopeless, but they do not confess that. They are clutching to their earthly power and authority bestowed upon them by the Roman emperor. These people are not on the holy ground before God. They are on the ground of their self-condemnation. Their deeds condemn themselves. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen, and then it was repeated, I have seen the affliction of my people. And this ruler should have been aware of the fact that the Lord Almighty God is seeing the affliction of his people, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the verse 35, Stephen is underlining this fact. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Already before this time, the other disciples, the apostles, did witness to these evil rulers that there is no other Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ, no other name given to the mankind by which we might be saved. And here we read that Stephen testified to them, even though this Moses was rejected by some of the children of Israel, but because he was sent by the Lord, he, Moses, brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is clearly pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testimony of Moses was not received by these evildoers. So they are facing that accusation by the word of God here. Stephen is adding facts that point to the similarity of the evildoers of the old times with those that are here present in this council of the Jews in Jerusalem. This is he, this is that Moses that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers. Who received, this Moses received the lively oracles to give unto us, but our fathers would not obey him, just as these evil people did not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust Moses from them, and these people did trust away the opportunity of believing and obeying the Son of God. And in those days, in their hearts, they turned back again into Egypt. And these people here are moving from bad slavery to sin to worse slavery unto sin. In those days they said unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. How long was Moses away? Perhaps a few weeks, up in the mountain receiving the commandments from the Lord. These evil doers, the evil rulers in Jerusalem, they never escaped from Egypt of their sins and their evil doings. In the days of Moses, they made a calf and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Now Sadducees and Pharisees might have boasted that they never worshipped an idol, but they actually worshipped the idol of their greed, the idol of their rebellion against the Lord. Stephen continued his testimony. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. What is this telling to these rulers? Something that they know very well, but they don't want to think about that, and they try to hide it from the people. That those rulers, these priests, these evildoers, by rejecting the correction of the Almighty God, by refusing to accept the truth of the gospel, they are going to be permanently evil idol worshippers. They not only offer sacrifices to their idols as in the days of Moses, but they sacrifice their own soul and eternity to the idol of their evil doing. These idols that are mentioned here, that the children of Israel in the wilderness took the tabernacle of Molech and the star of their god Remphan, idols which they made to worship them. These idols were of the other nations, like Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites, the nations that were close relatives to the Israelites. And this is telling us today also to be very careful, not to trust, not to believe, and not to borrow anything from the religion of those that have similar preaching but sinful practices, twisting and perverting the word of God, pretending to be the worshippers of the Almighty God, and yet living in the world of sin and iniquity. Stephen is continuing his testimony. Our fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, as God had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he, Moses, should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, Joshua, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. The fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ the Lord, that is witnessing the presence of the Lord in their heart, in their life, that is testifying to the fact that they are continuing the work of the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the enemies were falling down before the tabernacle that the children of Israel had among themselves or in their midst, so the evildoers and the enemies of the gospel are going to fall down before the power of that spirit that is going to cause the gospel to be heard all over this earth. In the verses 45 and 46, Stephen is reminding the rulers in Jerusalem that the faithful ones in Israel were building the house of God, and the faithful ones nowadays are building the spiritual house of God, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon did build that magnificent temple, but that was for a time, and for the children of Israel to see the presence of the Lord in their midst. But now that temple became a den of thieves, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, referring to an old prophecy. Howbeit, verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. This is one of the prophets that the priests and scribes and Pharisees, their teachers, are acknowledging as one of the prophets. This is their holy scripture. The Most High dwells not in the temples made with hands. Heaven is his throne, and earth is his footstool. What house can the people build to him, said the Lord? Or what is the place for his rest that could be made by the hands of man? Have not my hand made all these things? What are all these things? Heaven and heavens above heaven, the earth and everything that is in it, and all the materials that the people used to build a temple, God made in the first place. And then Stephen is turning squarely eye to eye to these evil men. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. What is Stephen telling them? You violate, transgress, disobey the words of the prophets. You are the children of those that disobeyed Moses. You are the children of those that disobeyed God all the way until this generation. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain those which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. What is he saying them here? The prophets that were murdered by your fathers were foretelling the coming of the righteous, the Just One, Jesus Christ, whom you call Jesus of Nazareth. And now you are the murderers of that Jesus Christ, the Savior. You are the ones that received the law given by the hand of an angel to Moses, and you also did not keep that law. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. At this time, they showed their true nature again. They are beasts, bloody and bloodthirsty beasts. At that moment, Stephen did not allow that their evil faces create a seed of evil in his heart. Instead of looking and beholding and absorbing their wickedness, he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said exactly that. Look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man, that Jesus of Nazareth, standing on the right hand of God. I would think that he said that with excitement. He said that with a sense of great joy, a triumph. Then these slaves of Satan, demonstrating, revealing the intentions of Satan, they cried out with a loud voice in protest, in madness, and they stopped their ears. They probably covered their ears with their hands, and they ran upon him with one accord, this whole congregation of these dignitaries in Jerusalem, these bloody criminals. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, and Stephen called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen knew exactly his direction. He knew exactly his destiny, the goal to which every redeemed soul is longing to arrive. Stephen is commanding his spirit into the hands of the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer, the Intermediator, the real great High Priest. As the stones are hitting him all over his body, perhaps he felt that the moment of death is very close. He knelt down on his feet, his knees, and he said with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What did he mean with these words? Can it be that the Lord would not lay that sin to their charge and murder, killing in such an evil, wicked, cruel way one of his disciples? I think the desire of Stephen was that the Lord would bring to their attention, to their awareness, their lost estate, and that they become aware of their need of repenting and turning to the Lord, that they might become aware of such an awfully dangerous direction that they have taken, that they might become aware how long endless eternity in hell is going to be, and that they would cry to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the way to avoid having their sin charged to them. Only if they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did pay for the sins of those that trust and obey Him. In the second part of the verse number 58, we read that the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee. Here he is joined with the Sadducees, and he is going to become an awful persecutor, but not for long, because the Lord God Almighty, the same Lord Jesus that has such an enormous power to suffer all that was necessary to redeem us and to give us an example of the perfect suffering of the Lamb of God, to show us, to reveal to us how great is the price for our souls, the same Lord Jesus Christ is going to pluck out this soul of Tarsus, and in his madness Saul was rushing to hell, but in his love and mercy the Lord Jesus Christ will stop Saul of Tarsus and deliver him from his evil intentions and make him a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.